Welcome back to the Investigative Journal on this Friday, August 8th, a 2014 day in our calendar. You're listening to First Amendment Radio. I'm your host, Greg Anthony, and we're here every day, Monday through Friday, from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., that's Pacific time, on FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Today I'm going to conclude on this Friday, continuing with the story of Pastor Tony Alamo, and how his church right now is under attack by who I consider to be the Jesuit order, using the American government and all our law enforcement agencies to silence ministries like his, who basically have been talking against these guys for years, for over 40 years. And I have outlined this in some of my other shows. Yesterday I did a show just touching the surface of what's going on, how Tony was sentenced to a life in prison in 2008, actually in 2010. The raid on his ministry took place in 2008, and this was just the last one in a series of harassment that's been going on for over 40 years in his ministry. If you look at what's going on in the Alamo Ministries, and so I wanted to be clear on why I'm doing this and why I picked him, as well as Tupper Saucy, another gentleman I'm featuring on this show, and I've decided to write two theatrical plays. One featuring him and one featuring Tony. And the reason is, as they serve as good examples for what I consider to be a lack of freedom of religion or freedom of speech in this country. And this is what happens to you when you talk against anything involved with the Catholic Church, the Vatican, the Jesuit order, our government, their long history of persecutions, as well as the persecutions that are going on today, in order to carry out a plan, I think, that has been in the works ever since and prior to our country being formed. This was the great prize back then in the 1700s, and they sure have moved along with their plan quite well. And Tony and Tupper are just two people that have been caught up in their persecutions. And the reason being is both of them were reaching a lot of people, and that's when the so-called you-know-what hits the fan. And do we really have freedom of speech in this country? Of course not, if this takes place. Now, the second reason I picked these guys is they're not very popular in the mainstream. Tony, of course, was convicted on that day. The raid took place. And if you talk to probably anybody that watches the news and believes in what they hear, he's not very popular in the mainstream. And so I wanted to show you how they operate, and he's a good example. Tupper also is not very popular. He's not even popular amongst anti-Vatican writers. So I wanted to pick both of these guys for that reason. And the old saying that, if you're popular, you're probably wrong, is probably true in this case. And my feeling is this, is that if you pick two gentlemen like this and can show the concerted effort of the government, the religious leaders, as well as the media, working together to convict these guys, then you can actually see how your freedoms are being taken away as we speak. Now, can we allow this to go on? Well, what do we do? Well, I think the best thing to do is to understand it and to give these two guys a fair shake and to show their sides of the story and to keep your mind open and make up your own mind instead of listening to one side. And that's exactly what happened. Now, I'm going to start out with some personal recollections of the Alamo story from when I was running my radio show back then. In fact, I had interviewed him prior to the arrest and afterwards, and I got some insights that probably a lot of people didn't. The media, on the other hand, was just listening to the prosecution, and they were, an unprecedented raid. Now, let me tell you, I've been around a long time and watching the priests in the Catholic Church being charged or rumors of abuse going on in orphanages all over the world and in dioceses and churches. And needless to say, I have never seen any priest arrested in this kind of manner that Tony's ministry was. Here we have, in comparison, Tony's ministry is a speck on the camel's or on the elephant's back compared to the amount of land, the amount of money, the amount of resources that the Catholic Church has. Now, let me just give you the resources today of the Jesuit order. Just a glimpse. This is just one little order in the Catholic Church. And remember, back when our country was founded, John Carroll, the first, there was only one bishop here, a minority of Catholics. There was nothing. How has it grown so large in such a short time? Let me give you an idea here, and we'll get back to Tony's story as well, because it all ties in. The capital of the United States, okay, well, I'd like to call, it might as well be Georgetown University, since 1789, the same year we became officially a country. And if you look at the Great Seal of America and the Great Seal given to Georgetown by George Washington, it's similar. So I think he was telling us something there. But money people don't even care about that stuff. But I think in their signs and symbols, as I've shown on other shows, gives you an idea of who we are. Now, just the Jesuits. There are at least 28 huge Jesuit universities all over the country and 50 Jesuit high schools or even more in America. The highest concentration of Jesuit influence than in any other country in the world. These are the people we supposedly wanted to keep out of America when it was formed. The history of I went through their history. Understand that they are in now over 112 countries, maybe even more. And what is usually left out is why they were formed and what is their goal. And that's what we've done in this show. And I'm not going to go over it now because I do want to get back to Tony's story today. Why is it that the majority of Americans don't even know who they are? Because they like to keep it a secret. Go back to some of my shows. And yes, go back to my show yesterday because I did begin to lay out the story of Tony Alamo. Yesterday we talked about the raid. I'm going to talk about that again today from my personal point of view, that I was watching this unfold back in 2008 and was even told it was going to happen because Tony was telling me they're basically been watching him, and he said they have been watching him for 40 years. Now, the point I'm trying to make is everyone in this country has a right to their own beliefs, and you may disagree with certain things, how he interprets the Bible, and some people may disagree with how you interpret it, and then there's others who don't even want to listen to it. And in this country, based on our Constitution, all of us have that right. And what we have is a responsibility, I think, a moral responsibility to listen to other people and to live together with differing views. That is not the way Rome enjoys it. They like to make you think that. But let me tell you a little bit, just a generality about how Rome benefits from this stuff. Roman Christianity's success at avenging evil has resulted in a world that severely mistrusts the Christian gospel today. It is to Rome's advantage that the Christian gospel be mistrusted. For any soul that mistrusts Christ is Rome's lawful prey. It's to Rome's advantage that governing bodies be rebelled against as tyrannical. For rebellion against tyrants is disobedience to the glorious gospel. And they use this to their advantage. That's why they instigate wars. They instigate all this stuff. And that's why in the beginning of our country they did the same darn thing. You look at the innocent life that's been taken because of this, and it's incredible, and it's getting worse. Look forward to some of my shows next week on depopulation and other things going on. There's a huge story about Fukushima and radiation that just played out here in California that I want to get to next week as well. We're going to finish this week with Tony Alamo, and I, of course, will not get to his whole story. There's many shows to come, as well as on Tupper Saucy. The reason I'm doing the theatrical plays is I fear that in our lifetime, we're never going to really get down to really what happened, and most people are going to probably go away with the feeling that both these men deserved what they got. But hopefully, if I do a theatrical play where you can live on past us, maybe some people down the road will be a little bit smarter than what the American population and the world's population is today. That is my hope. And what else can you do? But anyway, that's why I want to do it. And I want to do it because these two men are in the mainstream, very unpopular. And I want to show that they have a side of the story that's not that doesn't want to be uncovered by the mainstream media. And however it plays out, however you believe it at the end, is up to you. I just am showing you this side of the story. And you can get the other side of the story if you go to Oprah Winfrey, if you go to all these shows that basically convicted this guy even before he had a trial. And like I said yesterday, I'm going to save his motion for a retrial, his appeal that's sitting on a judge's desk right now, and what happened with the five or six people, the testimony that was used to convict him, and how much of the defense testimony that would have helped his case never got in. And some say, is it a kangaroo court? Well, what is a kangaroo court? A kangaroo, you know, I'm convinced, and I have a law degree myself, that you don't get much truth in a court of law. And there's a lot of innocent people in this country that go to jail. It's no surprise that we, as a country, have the highest concentration of people in jail and around the world. And we're supposedly a free country. Why all these jails? Why all these people? Because this country was formed to protect, to basically for criminals, for sinners, for criminals. And it can't be run by a group of saints. The same people that are convicting are probably the biggest criminals. And that is a story for another show. What really the laws in this country are, who they're made to, who they're written for. They're not written for the innocent. They're written to control the criminals. And so, basically, as Monkey does, as Monkey says, Monkey does, and if we have people at the top committing the most horrendous crimes, that seems to filter down to the population. So, another time we'll get into that generality, which is an interesting one to pursue. However, let me get back to Tony. So, we discussed yesterday this raid. So let's go back and look at it from just, and I'm just going to go back and say, they were, compared to the Catholic Church and all of the abuse that's been leveled at it for centuries, from the time we begin talking about it in the 1500s, that's a good starting point, to now, is enormous. And their holdings around the world are enormous compared to the Alamo ministry, which had three or four churches around the country, which were always in the news called a cult, a compound, a commune. And let me remind my fellow journalists that under the Constitution of this United States, I have the right to form my own church, and I being the only member. And would that be a cult? The point I'm trying to get is each one of us has the right to use the Constitution and to practice their own religion. Now, is it a cult that I may have a religion that's differing from you? Is the Mormon Church a cult? Now, look at what they believe. Look at their, you know, I said everyone has the right to their beliefs, and I'm not making fun of them. What I'm saying is, if you look at some of the things they talk about, the angels and all this stuff, it's kind of weird. From a perspective of someone that maybe not believe in any of this stuff. Look at it from a person that doesn't, you know, that is very rational and very rationally minded. And looking at this, they go, boy, how'd they get these people to believe that story? So, I mean, the point is, the beliefs aren't what I'm talking about. It's how do you classify what is a cult? And do we call the Catholic Church a cult? No, not publicly. It's never called that in the news. It's never referred to as a compound, a cult, what have you, but in essence, it should be if we're going to call the Alamo ministry one, all right? If you're going to call them one, then they have to be called one. I assume that you can call anything a cult. I mean, you can call me a cult if I have a certain following on beliefs that may differ from yours, okay? So the point is, these words are used and they have meanings that signify something bad, something evil going on. And I'm telling you, if you look at the signs and symbols of the Vatican with that obelisk and all the other things they do, boy, they have, but they're interpreted differently for the masses. So we have this idea that they're clean and holy and there's a few bad eggs in the basket. And don't worry, the new Pope, who is very, he's very, you know, he goes and washes the feet of whores, and he goes with and sits with the people in the streets. And, you know, this is a front, folks. This is a front just like anything else. And lately he's on a big kick, the Pope is, of saying we must redistribute wealth around the world. Well, I say fine, but start in your own house, Father. Please do that. Look at what you got. Then when you start redistributing yours, I'll start redistributing mine. Get lost. Basically, all it wants to do is take money away from people that have it, take it to the church, and then give out about 1% to the poor, and that'd be the end of it. Very double-talking Pope. He's also a Jesuit, so I wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw him. Anyway, that's me. So basically, let me remind you that I can form my own church in this country just by myself. I don't need followers, I don't need anything, and the Constitution would protect me. And I can prove that legally. And I could also, if I wanted to, get all these tax protections, but I won't do that. I don't choose to. I don't like it. It's my choice. But we do have that choice as American citizens. So if anybody out there has a view, a belief system, you can go out and do it yourself. Now, getting back to Tony, so this raid came down. Tony was even telling me prior to his arrest in 2008 that they were after him, and it was coming down. It was imminent. He knew this for a while, and this is nothing new. He'd already been wrongfully convicted on a tax charge. He'd already been charged with trying to kidnap a judge, which they couldn't prove. And then they tried these charges of sex abuse in the past that they couldn't prove, but they kept digging away. And this time they came down with a raid. Now the raid was basically told to 150 different news outlets. Why the government needs to tell them about this is beyond me. Now, when's the last time a Catholic priest gets arrested for child abuse, rape, sodomy, whatever they do, when's the last time that 150 news outlets were notified? When's the last time 100 SWAT members came to, you know, surrounded a Catholic church and arrested the priest? And when's the last time they stormed a mass with guns flailing and arresting the priest on the altar? Never. It never happens. It's a quiet arrest. One man, you know, they take him in, they do their thing, and some sacrificial lamb in the Catholic church has to take the fall for many others that are walking the streets today doing the same damn thing. But in this case, with this ministry, they chose, one, to tell 150 news media outlets. They go to Fauk, Arkansas. Tony wasn't even there. I mean, you'd think they'd know where he was at if they're going to arrest him. And they have the surveillance that we have. But he was in L.A. So they come onto this property with 100 SWAT team members in full regalia, guns flailing, and there were 6 little children playing in the playground. That was the scene. And the next day, they take these kids, they're probably crying, and, you know, I mean, wouldn't you? I mean, you see these weird guys with helmets coming at you, with vests and, you know, whatever they were. I mean, it's ridiculous. And you know it is. If they wanted to arrest the man, they could have quietly found him in L.A., put him in handcuffs, and taken him in. But no, it was a media affair. It was called a commune, a bust, and then his whole history came out, even though he'd been exonerated of so many charges, trying to shut him up about the story he's been telling for 45 years about the Vatican's involvement in our government and about how they are basically trying to take away our freedoms of religion. And it's important because what you're doing, folks, you may sit there now thinking you're a strict Bible believer, or you may go to this church, that church, but you can start looking and finding that most of them are in the pocket of Rome, either through a 501c3 or through marginal, never talking about this on the pulpit. He did. And I think that's why he's paying the price. I can tell you that a number of times I'd talk to pastors in small towns throughout the country, and they would talk to me about the subject, but it would never be mentioned. It'd be, oh, privately they'd want to talk about it, but publicly they'd have a different stance, and they knew as well as I do why they did that. So were you getting the truth? No. And what they're going to do is read to you from Psalms and all the great things, and then not get to the bottom of what's really happening. And I don't think that's the right way of looking at things, and I don't even know why people bother. But, like I said, you have your own belief system. Whatever you know you feel is right is going to be right. What I'm getting at is, why not? Why not respect the rights of others just the same? And in this case, it was a setup from the beginning. And when you go through all the elements, which I'm going to do on this show, as many as I can get, many probably that I can't find out, I'm going to start looking at the number of people that were... They tried to coerce so many people in this case. They ended up with five or six that are now basically going to be very wealthy because they're the biggest in March. They did not only went after this guy, you know, criminally, but now they're after all his holdings and his ministry, and the biggest settlement in Arkansas history, $535 million, was leveled against this ministry, with six or seven civil defendants, six of them being in the criminal case, and the other added, which is an interesting story in itself. And you're going to see what they're trying to do. And, you know, don't get me... People do things for money, folks. They all say things for money. And I'll tell you what, you don't hear a lot of truth in court anymore. So this big raid comes out, and they take these six kids and interrogate them. And I've got some of the interrogations of what they were asked, questions they were asked, how they were trying to, you know. And it's interesting, and I'll read some of those in future shows. But the next day, a judge issues an order to go to each of his churches, calling them compounds, in York, take any kid they could find, and they got like 34, 35 others. And when this news came out, parents were running for the hills because they wanted to protect their kids, a way to disband this ministry quickly. Did they ever do that in a Catholic church? Let's say that Father O'Reilly was accused of raping this this girl, and did they arrest him in a SWAT team fashion? No, did they take him? Did the judge issue an order to shut down every Catholic school in that county or that state? No. Nothing was said. And probably more horrendous crimes were going on right there. But that's okay. And what about Cardinal... we can go back to so many different... You know, I remember the story about Cardinal Spellman? Definite information that he was a child molester? Did they ever go after Cardinal Spellman in New York? Oh, heck no. He's protected. And I got information from police detectives to that effect. Get information that even the Pope knew about it. So, I mean, is there a double standard? Are there hypocrites? You know, heaven's going to be full of them. Oh, it'll be a fun place, won't it? You know, according to them. But that's what I'm talking about. We're going to get back into some of this. I'm going to read to you a statement by an FBI official that knows about the infiltration of his church. And we'll get back to that in the second half hour of the investigation, the investigation on the Investigative Journal on FirstAmendmentRadio.com. You're listening to, like I said, Greg Anthony's Investigative Journal. We're going through the story of the arrest, the conviction, and persecution of Tony Alamo. And we're going to get back with more information on that after these short messages. I'm here every day, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., back in 3 minutes.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
I know you all want answers, and believe me, so do I, and I'll do my best to get them.
Have you seen the Left Behind movies? Have you read the Left Behind fictional book series? Not everyone believes Left Behind is true prophecy. Some may even regard as conspiratorial the mainstream re-release of the Left Behind movie with actor Nicolas Cage portraying the main character as an attempt to further reinforce in the minds of all this perception of false prophecy in order to condition the masses for the play about to begin. Because they see the world stage shaping to fulfill what they have been led to believe is sound biblical interpretation, a Left Behind rapture scenario, this false view of prophecy is reinforced in the mind, not only of its adherents, but also includes those who have been merely exposed to the specific media. Is it possible that false prophecy can be fulfilled? The rapture theories have always been in dispute. Pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib disputes have risen up in exclusively evangelical circles of recent history. So that when true believers don't suddenly disappear, this element will easily go by the wayside when all see a new Jewish temple begin to be built. Will this be part of the great delusion that will come upon the whole earth? It seems that this great prophetic delusion has already overcome practically the entire American evangelical and Christian world. Get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. To learn more, visit crosstheborder.org. That's C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
All right, we're back for the second half hour of this Friday investigative journal show, and we're going over the Tony Alamo story. And like I was mentioning, a double standard in this case. They raid his ministry, which is small and minute in comparison to the holdings of the Vatican around the world and the child abuse cases that have been filed against them. And if you look at how they handle the, for example, if there was a priest, I gave you this example in the other half hour, in the first half hour, but if there was a priest being arrested for rape or whatever, some child abuse in, like, let's say a Catholic grade school, and let's call it the Holy Rosary School, where there were maybe 200 or 300 students that attend, and would the arrest take place during the school hours when the priest was there and over? Well, if you multiply that, you'd have to have 200 or 300 SWAT members surround the Holy Rosary School. You take the priest who, well, the priest wasn't there that day. He happened to be at another, he was out doing something. He wasn't even at the school. But then the SWAT team, would they take all the grade school children that were in that school and take them into DA, you know, into Department of Human Services custody and interview each one? No, it would never happen in a Catholic school. Even though the abuse there is horrendous, if, as we look throughout the course of history, and many of the shows were done, and many of the incidents were covered on this show, because they don't get covered elsewhere or get glossed over in history. Ask some of the Native Americans, ask some of the Native Canadians about the history of the Jesuit order and what they did to them and what they're doing still today. But when you get a good cover, like they have, and money, and you have the government in your pocket, it doesn't get any attention. They have to have a few sacrificial lambs, of course, and then they can say to you, well, we're in a clean house, don't worry. We got a new pope now, everything's going to be cool, don't worry about that. And people believe it. But in this case, what they did is they raided this ministry without him even being there, taking all these kids into custody. The judge issues an order to take every one of the kids from all of his ministries in different states. And parents flee. They even stopped these parents on the road and had a big roadblock. I mean, this was a orchestrated effort from the beginning. And so I'm going to get into some of that testimony, some of the irregularities and a lot of irregularities in the trial and the testimony and the coercion, how they handled this, basically trying, you know, spoon feeding people. So they can have witnesses that convict him. It's interesting, yeah, very interesting. And he sits in a jail cell right now, waiting his appeal, waiting on his motion for a new trial, which I'll cover in another show. And like I told you, the reasons why I'm doing this is it's a good example for us to understand that our freedoms of religion and our freedoms of speech have been wiped away in this country. You can speak about most everything, but not this. And so if you take away one thing that's very important, basically you've taken away everything, my feeling. I did want to mention this, that I have been going over some... his ministry has been persecuted for years, and... I'm talking about 40 years. Now, back in the 80s, a guy named Joseph Taliaferro gave a confession under oath of what he was asked to do. And I think it serves as an example of what they've been doing for years with this guy. And I want you to read it. I read parts of it, only a few paragraphs, in another show, and I wanted to do it in total. So I'm going to start right now so I don't run out of time, and I should be able to get through it, and then we'll pick up the pieces at the end of the show. This is Joseph Taliaferro's testimony regarding the Alamo Church made back in the 1980s. And he says this: my brother is a cop, and I used to work undercover with the police department and help bust drug dealers. The National Aviation Facilities Experimental Center, located in Pomona, New Jersey, hired me to infiltrate the Tony Alamo Christian Church. Agencies like this planted in your heart and soul not to talk about working for them under any circumstances, under even a threat of torture. I was paid $10,000 for information that I would supply to them, and I believe that the that division of the National Aviation Facilities Experimental Center is a division of the FBI and the U.S. Department of Labor. Also, it seems to me that they are somehow linked with the mafia. I was instructed to call in several times per day to talk to men who hired me, Captain Connolly and Lieutenant Robinson, who could be reached, and gave their phone number. I was hired at the time that Tony Alamo Church came to Atlantic City about the abortion issue. The NFAC told me that they were merely interested in the anti-abortion program that the church was offering. At this time, I couldn't understand why, but the church was offering free aid to women that were going to have an abortion if they would agree not to have one. The church was offering free prenatal care, hospitalization, and support for the mother and child. Why they wanted me to place myself secretly into the church at first seemed innocent enough, but the plot got thicker as the time went on. The NFAEC, says Taliaferro, wanted to know many things about the Alamo ministry, even the complete layout of his house, and even the room he slept in. They also wanted to know the doctrine of the church. Tony showed me throughout his house and even the room where he slept, which was a small room. The United States federal government even wanted to know if Susan Alamo was really dead. It seems like kind of crazy to me because hundreds of people were at the funeral and the casket was open. And she died at the City of Faith Hospital in Tulsa and was embalmed there before being brought into Arkansas. I'm told there is a death certificate and her casket was left open for 2 weeks. To me, the doctrine of the church is very beautiful and spiritual, scriptural. The people at the Alamo Ministry go to two services every day. They read the Bible and pray. I was truly inspired myself. There were several sequences of events that transpired while I was at the church. They were all being done by the federal government. First, a branch of the government sent many false telegrams while I was at the church stating that I had inherited $2.5 million. I was instructed to show these telegrams to the people at the church and to tell them that I wanted to do the same and to invest the rest in business. It sounds to me like entrapment could be a good word legally to use. This they told me to, but we don't think our government does that, do we? No. They're nice guys. This they told me to do in hopes that I could get close to Tony. The next sequence of events, which I knew nothing of, was that the federal government had some men call the church stating that they were going to kidnap me, knowing that Tony Alamo Church would try to protect me. There was yet another sequence that I didn't know about. I don't believe that the people that were calling with the false kidnap threats knew about it either. Helicopters started flying over the house, which I believe were military helicopters. Several jeeps were seen around the area, loaded with what I believe were federal men. Also, a silver and blue van with five large men was seen at the Alamo grocery store in Alma. Local police force vehicles were seen prowling the area. Because, you know, folks, let me just interject here. You know, I am so tired of this police state. We don't think we live in one. But, oh, my God, we do. I mean, it's just tiring. They want to get involved in every aspect of your life. Just go home, you know, and get a, you know, disband all, you know, years ago there was less crime and less in law enforcement. Now we got more crime and more in law enforcement. Is there an analogy there somewhere? Because of the vicious nature of federal government agency that I was working for as a spy, I personally believe without a doubt that they were deliberately trying to make Tony Alamo Christian Church look like a bad and mysterious organization, which it is not. I have seen literally hundreds of letters commending them for their kind of work. Personally sat in one service after another and heard wonderful testimonies from church people. I have become very acquainted with many people who live at the church, and they are all beautiful people. You know, and I met a number of these people, too, prior to this arrest, and I liked a lot of the people there that I met. I really did. And it was sad to see this happen. They were leading a, you know, pretty wholesome life, working and doing different things in the community and having jobs, truck driving jobs. I mean, it was they were good people. I hated to see them get broken up like that. But anyway, he says that he saw hundreds of letters commending them for their kind of work, and I personally, says Telefaro, sat in one service after another and heard wonderful testimonies from these people. I have become very acquainted with many people who live at the church, and they are all beautiful people. Now, you see, folks, what they did, the media, is they made this group out to be a compound, a commune. At one point, they tried to infiltrate them with weapons. So this would isolate them from the community so that people in Falk or wherever they were would stay away from them. Oh, these guys are crazy. But, you know, the next day they'll walk into a Catholic church. Oh, that's fine. To me, it's a double standard. Helicopters started flying. Okay, like I said. So there was wonderful testimony, said Telefaro, from these people. I have become very well acquainted with many who live at the church, and they are beautiful people. While I was at the church, I saw the sincerity, and I found it to be a very good place, preaching the gospel of Christ in a very convincing manner and helping the poor, suffering, and needy. I believe that it is what churches are really supposed to do. Because I'm giving this testimony, I do fear for my life. These federal government agencies are very vicious and will pay thousands of dollars for false testimonies against a church like this. They are looking at any cost to destroy this church and at any other church like it. These federal agencies most certainly hire and work with hardened criminals and are inspired exclusively by the Vatican. I believe that the U.S. government was setting up the Alamos for slaughter. The fake kidnap threats would have the Alamos thinking that they would be protecting me from goons. The feds were then going to say that the Alamos had kidnapped me and pretended to come to my rescue. Of course the Alamos, not knowing these were FBI, U.S. Department of Labor, and Mafia goons, would try to protect me and end up being slaughtered by the federal government. And then the newspapers, magazines, and TV networks like the Hearst newspaper chain, the New York Times, the LA Times, Life, Time, Newsweek, People, ABC, NBC, CBS, all secretly owned and controlled by the Vatican, would start blazing. I have made several other statements and signed them at Gein, Gein & Gein law firm in Fort Smith, Arkansas. I have talked with Mr. Gein and have told him and many others told him many other things and told him that it was all right to tape me. This was Roy Gein III. Again, I want to state that I was hired by the federal government to be paid $10,000 to testify falsely about the affairs of the Alamo Church. Again, my contacts that hired me were Captain Connolly and Lieutenant Robinson. They instructed me to plant myself at the church in Miami, Florida. In order to verify these facts, I have supplied the telephone numbers of my contacts. I have full knowledge of the taping of my conversation. The statements made above were made without coercion, force, or any promise of reward. The NAFEC is a government agency, FBI, IRS, U.S. Department of Labor, Mafia perhaps. And they told me that they planted six other agents in the church who have been there a year or more. Also, they say that they will be sending a girl in with a $100,000 donation. Isn't it something that these people have been there for a year or more and still have not found anything wrong with this place? Again, I fear for my life. I just hope that all Christians that really know God really do pray for me. I am leaving the church because of the conviction of God and I am under. The Antonio Alamo Church has done nothing but good to me, and I return that with bad. All right. You got Joseph Talafaro, one agent. How many others did they plant there? And they've been after these people for over 40 years, and they haven't come up with much to this date, I think. And they had to. This was the last bullet in their arsenal, I think. And so they went really guns blazing with those 100 agents, and that's where we sit now in 2014, looking back on this story and seeing the rights of all of us dwindled away piece by piece, year by year, by this organization. And all I would like to see is that you're aware of it. And I can use these two gentlemen as an example. Not only Talafaro, but I remember talking to another guy, and talked to several agents, one being John Peeler, who also was instructed to infiltrate the Alamo ministry and also perhaps do away with him. And John told a story on my show, and I had both of them on, Tony and John, and it was an interesting interview in itself, and John has told the truth, just like Talafaro. You can go back to some of my shows and see that. And I will bring up his testimony again in another show. It's too long to get into right now. But it's interesting that he wasn't allowed to testify in the trial, as many people weren't, based on the fact that the judge thought it had nothing to do with the charges. Interesting. Seemed to be a double standard in that case as well, when you see the extraneous evidence that was allowed in for the prosecution, but not for the defense, for the jury to hear. And could he have gotten a fair trial there? I don't know. I don't think so. In where the case took place, after the media and what they've done, spreading rumors about that ministry in the local paper, where could they get a jury that was fair? And that'd be interesting to look at, the jury members, in that case. But anyway, I wanted to touch on those elements. There's also another little, I wanted to read to you this. A woman also wrote in and stated this. It's very short, so let me read it to you real quick about what was happening to her. There were a number of people, like I said, they were going all over trying to get information. And Judith, with Judith Nutritionals, during this raid, after the raid, was called a witnessing line today, saying that she saw in the Thrifty Penny newspaper an advertisement for Tony on the radio, and she was glad to see that the ministry was do their best preaching the gospel. And she said she would like to talk to the ministry about this. She said the people have come to her, I guess she was involved with them at one point, and have tried to get her to say negative things about the ministry and Tony, but she said absolutely not. Tony has done nothing that I saw, but good for people. She said they kept hounding her to come against Tony. She told them, I don't care how many times you ask me or how many ways you ask me, I will never say anything negative about him, so go away, because I have only ever seen good from him. And they did this, if they did it to Judith, they did it to as many people as they could find. And boy, when you start talking to people about, perhaps there'll be a civil settlement where there'll be millions of dollars available, be surprised how people forget or change their story or allow themselves to be, coerced. Now, over the 40 years of him dealing with so many people, and you can imagine a ministry dealing with the poor and also having to deal with federal agents that are trying to infiltrate you. I mean, they came up, but the final, we'll go over each one of the testimony in another case, another show, but they came up with five or six people over these 40 years, and the testimony's a little flimsy to begin, you know, with that they used to convict, and you'll see. I mean, man, just think about it logically. If the guy knew for 40 years they're after him on for sex violations, he's going to be careful. Don't you think? For example, if you have a friend who's doing something and you know that he's being watched by the FBI, you're going to say, hey, man, you know, I wouldn't do any. You know, you're going to be extra careful. Even if you're doing no wrong, you're going to be a little paranoid. That's normal. You're going to be extra careful. And knowing that he's been watched for all these years, you think he's going to put himself in a position? It's kind of like Kobe Bryant learned. You know, don't go into a room with a girl alone in your position because you got a lot of money and you're a basketball player and things could get out of hand. You know, he was accused of rape, a great basketball player, had to prove his innocence. But the stain is still there about what happened to him. So don't you think Tony would know the same thing? You know, you think Kobe Bryant's going to walk into a room with a girl alone anymore? No. I mean, he shouldn't have done it that time. He's a young man, and so you think, you know, knowing that he's being watched for all these years, one, even if he's doing nothing wrong, he's going to be extra careful. And two, he's got to know that there's going to be people out to get him, you know, one, because he had a lot of land, a lot of money, and his ministry was successful. He was a businessman as well. And so, and he spoke about something that makes him a target. So, put that together. It took him a long time. They finally got him. And we're just trying to show his side of the story as well as bring to you all the things the prosecution did and what they've done over the years and how much of it we don't know about. I still say to this day, if Talafaro, Peeler, a couple others that I talked to are probably the tip of the iceberg. The rest of these people that were working as informants or the things that go on behind the scenes, we don't know about. Even, you know, we did know from some testimony yesterday from a guy that told us about how even the newspaper or the TV reporters were working together to try to convict this guy and get evidence. That's not their role. But is it today in the New World Order? Of course it is. You mean to tell me that you don't think these newspapers work hand in hand to keep the secret alive, to keep the secret quiet, to keep what we're talking about here off the main shelves of your newspapers? because people have a funny thing. Once it's, if it's a big organization, they believe it. For example, the Vatican. Oh, you believe they do a lot of good and there's a few bad eggs. But you take a little ministry like Tony Lamo and you believe the whole thing is corrupt. And why? Because of the complicity of our law enforcement agencies, our government, our courts, our media, in silencing anybody that reaches a critical mass or is attempting to reach a critical mass for a long period of time on this subject. It is taboo. You won't get it anywhere. You'll get criticized even if you do it on the internet from agents, provocateurs, perhaps, Alex Jones and the rest of them. They had to control the internet, folks. And they're doing it today. That's a story in itself. And as a journalist, I learned it the hard way. Because I began to work in the alternative media because I could not get stories published in the mainstream. So I figured, oh, there's a refuge here in the alternative. Little do I know, they do the same thing, but in a different way. Oh, yes, in a much different way. And I think in a more insidious way. And we can talk about that in another show. But anyway, we're running out of time. We've got about a minute and a half. Go to some of these stories. Google, that's what everybody does these days. You want to find out about things, you Google his name and read both sides of the story. Go to his website. Take my shows and send them around to whoever you may want to send them around to. And I'll be back with more. I got a lot more to cover in his story. And also with Tupper Saucy and other people who have experienced the same fate. And I think it's a story worth telling. And I always said this because it isn't being told in many places. And so you'll get it here. Got to listen to something new sometimes, don't you? I mean, don't you get tired of the same old stuff? I'm also going to do a couple shows on how you live with the New World Order and what the solution is and how you can live. Believe it or not, there is a way to do it. And I'm not talking about revolution and overthrowing them. Knowledge is the key. And Tony and Tupper were two people that gave you a lot, and they're paying the price today. So I hope you at least listen to their side of the story. And would do you good. Anyway, I'm going to take some time to say this, then I'll be back next Monday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. On FirstAmendmentRadio.com. There's some other good programs you can listen to on this radio station, so please do that. And you can catch me, like I said, every night, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. on the Investigative Journal. And have a good evening and good night.